With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Turned ourselves into 1950s housewives.
Yeah. Of sorts.
Of sorts.
I'm a morbidly obese 50s housewife.
Well, I've you been can say that about
several
yourself.
Rationing books and dripping.
Hello, welcome to our first ever live recording of the podcast, Be Honest, with Jojo and Bruce. I think you'll find it's that way around, not the other way we were introduced.
Yes.
Let's
okay.
get it right, isn't it?
Yes.
Shall we explain
okay.
why we're doing this and what happened?
I feel you should. You're in full flow.
Am
for
I?
For a woman of your age, that's a rarity, so I'm not going to stop it.
Oh, straight in with the age insults. No, it wasn't an insult.
We're the same age.
It's an observation. Oh, well, you're not looking as well as me on yours.
Well, there you go. Well, and that didn't go down as well as my period joke, but continue.
I will continue. Continue. Thank you very much. Yes, Bruce Devlin and myself came up. I don't know, did we come up with the idea? We decided because through lockdown, we've known each other for 20-something years.
20 years.
And unlikely bedfellows that we might be, we spent a lot of time together in lockdown, but not together on the phone.
On the phone. Sometimes crying.
A lot of time crying.
Sometimes laughing.
And sometimes wanting
to kill people.
Death on everyone.
Yeah. No, genuinely to kill disingenuous, virtue-signalling twats. Yeah.
We just felt that people weren't honest about their feelings. So we thought, why don't we take this conversation off the telephone and into a podcast? And that is what we've done. And we have been very honest up till now. And then we thought we'd do it live. We bring some audience members in.
Uh-huh.
We'll have some suggestions from you as to what you would like people to be honest about. And we're also going to interview some fabulous guests.
That's true. Does anyone...
Thank you. I like a whoop.
Yeah. Does anyone feel they have a problem with being honest? Anyone over in this section? Is anyone a horrible
bloody
hypocrite?
Liars already?
Yeah, exactly.
Every single last one of you. Oh no, we're completely
hypocritical
genuine.
Hypocritical whores.
Absolute nonsense. I don't believe you for a second. Oh, thank you, sir. What would you like to be honest about, or would you? What would you like other people to be honest about?
Their feelings.
That's quite nice. Is this your lovely wife? And how long have you been together? See,
so
okay,
those are
so
your feelings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are out and proud quite well.
And
that's
the thing is, can I just interrupt you, sir? This woman came in just to check it was all accessible for you. She clearly loves you. She's putting up with your mauve facial hair. There's a lot that's... Oh, and she's laughing like that as well. So there's a lot she's putting up with, and you would turn around and say that to her. I'd like you to apologise. That's so honest. That's lovely. Give them a round of applause.
Lovely. So yes, there are many subjects that have caught our eye and uh-huh. things that we get. I get, because I'm absolutely obsessed about COVID, but not in a good way.
Ooh.
I get COVID kicked out.
That's the noise to try and stop it. Because we know she doesn't like it, but you don't need to talk about it all the time.
No, I know, but I do have.
No, but you do, don't you?
I do.
And that's why you remind me of my mother, because she's a bugger as well. It's true.
Am I like your mother?
Yeah, saying the same thing over and over again.
That's because I've got to a certain age.
No. I think it's just your
bloody
personality.
Mindedness. Yes. It's just my personality. Oh, thanks, Bruce. Lovely. So we want to kind of get a demographic as well of how sort of what age.
Yeah, can we put the house lights up just so we can see?
You?
Don't worry if you've not moisturised. Oh, hello, it's you.
It's who?
Well,
it's
someone that I know. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Christ Almighty! Oh, they're spreading up like syphilis. There's little Grant Lovely and Dre is there. Homos from Instagram. Mauve Beard. Who else have we got in? Oh, someone I might pump later.
Oh,
a nice big bear.
You can stop. You can stop.
Soft swears. Oh, there's a lot going on. Look at you. You've sprayed on these kind of condom femidom like leggings. It's like some Beyonce video down here. Yes, they've been to Turkey. They've had their hair and their teeth done, and you've sprayed whatever on your hoo-ha. That's excellent. And again, the big bear who's winking at me. Lovely. That's all good. Now, I know you've got to wear your mask, but madam, I see that you're wearing a hat. Are you going to get the benefit of that outside?
Yes, we're looking at you. Although, don't criticise the hat because she's gone for a nice burnt amber.
This is something that you have to fucking calm down about. I didn't criticise. I asked if she was going to get the benefit of the hat. I didn't say that's a colour that's wearing you. You know, I just left her to it. Thank you very much. Are you keeping that on, love? No dry shampoo. I understand. So do these ladies. They've got different fluids through the ends of their hair, though. We'll talk about that later, because they're party girls. So, lovely to see you. That's
I like
all
the
good.
Idea that you just said to somebody that you would pump them later, like that they didn't have a
I
choice.
I think it's nice to involve people. I think it's nice to involve
also,
people.
Also, I'm very jealous.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, this is the thing.
I am honest.
Look at you. Honestly, you're on brand. You can stay.
No, well, Jojo's completely on brand. She's got gap.
Jojo is just in a bad mood because she was offered a horizontal refreshment last night, but because she can't put some boundaries in. No. I know you can.
Yes.
But you said that you couldn't trust yourself and you would have ended up hanging out your arse. So
I was in
and
Sheffield last night.
He might have been
night.
Hanging out her arse as well. So that was the thing. We didn't have enough seats for the person you may or may not have pumped.
I was in Sheffield last night. I got an offer and turned it down so that I could be here in good fettle this afternoon.
But spilt milk in your car.
Oh, honestly, did.
Not a euphemism.
No, I did. I bought a 2-litre thing of milk and then I put it on the back seat. And then as I was driving down the M6, I managed to avoid something that had fallen off the back of a lorry. But I had slammed my brakes on and my milk slammed on the ground. And then the milk spilled everywhere. And now my car stinks like somebody's shatting it.
Yes, I'm always thinking stools and milk, what a similar smell combo.
It isn't dissimilar. It's really ancient sex. That's what it smells like.
This lovely young lady is hooked on every word that you're saying. I don't know if she could believe what's going on. Have you ever spilt milk or shat in a car? Can you relate to any of this? No. Hands out your thighs, dear. You were brought up better than that. Come on now. We'll have no bean flicking at this moment in time. We're all too tired.
Oh, I thought we were going to keep this clean.
I said soft swears.
Oh, soft swears, okay.
Soft swears.
That's nice.
Fucking focus. Oh. There we go. We agreed no C, but we could have some soft swears.
Yes, a fiddle sticks you like.
A fiddle DD, yes. So there we go. Oh, sneezing, and in a pandemic. What a fucking treat. Really nice, really nice. Have you heard of Omicron? Die. Right, okay.
I'm assuming everyone's had the COVID now, haven't you?
Have they hands up if you've had the COVID? Hands up.
I think if you haven't had it yet, you're not trying.
Have you had the COVID? The three people staring at me.
He's not. No.
Who's not? No. Oh, they have. Well, clearly, yes. Oh, you've not. Well, we probably can't get into your fucking body with those rubber leggings, right?
That is a good contraception, isn't it?
I don't know. Homos, have you had the COVID? No.
How do you know they're homos?
Oh, fucking hell. Are you blind?
Well, you can say that.
I know I can say that, thank you. I'm indigenous to these people. silly woman. For God's sake, it's homos that I know from Instagram.
Okay.
Well, originally Twitter, when you lived in London, didn't you? What are you called? Death Disco or something? Yes.
Death Disco, is that your name? On Twitter?
And you know some people in the West End of Edinburgh where there's a child and they had the christening in the Rayburn Hotel and then you moved up and you lived in Edinburgh but you preferred Glasgow. There's a lot going on. She also likes a drink and a voice note, so you can imagine.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of promotional Sauvignon Blanc between the pair of us and all that.
Spending
kind of
a lot of time with Bruce, I have discovered a very different view of the world through the eyes of a homosexual.
Yeah, you didn't know what bum apps were, did you?
I didn't know what bum apps. I certainly didn't know what public toilets were used for.
Yes, not what you would think.
No, I just go to the toilet and I come out. But apparently, other things happen. I know. Yes, I know.
You're stroking your beard and he's waving one. I think there's problems. I think there are problems.
How long have you been married, as a matter of interest?
Oh, can we have a round of applause?
Yes,
26 years.
Well done. Very well done.
Only homosexuals in open relationships can last that long.
That was a very golf clap, wasn't it? It was quite patronising. Congratulations.
I don't think people are bothered whether folk are happy or not. Are you an open marriage or are you a monogamous marriage?
Well, they don't know the answer to that.
I love the way that woman's got monogamy when I've called people fucking homos and sworn and rubber vaginas, but no, monogamy, right. Monogamous, open. Monogamous. Not so much on your part. Interesting. You deflected that. Oh, right. Okay. That's fair enough. But a big tongue. We'll leave it there. I saw that going around in the side of you. Shall we get a guest on?
Shall we get a guest on? I think, can I entrust you to get our guest on and say her name? Because we had several attempts at me trying to say it in a pre-recording and I called her Jonathan Ross 8 times. So you try it.
Okay.
Because we don't have Jonathan Ross, just so you know.
No, because he's
I'm going to sit here.
Where are you going to sit? You're going to sit there. Right, okay. So is anyone a fan of the weather? Thank you, one person. It's just our first guest has to do with the weather. So should we try that again? Is anyone a fan of the weather? Yeah. You're in for a real treat, fellow meteorologist, weather-obsessed people, because we have none other than the nation's favourite weather girl, a good friend of mine. I would like a huge round of applause for Judith Ralston.
Nation's favourite weather girl.
Girl.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it as well. 100%. Girl at my age.
We were just talking backstage at our ages, weren't we?
Yes, and having, we were, yeah, yeah.
Discussing. But well, then you made
the
us
Mary
stop.
The Mary Hill Nana Muscuri.
I know,
but you do. You've got a very strong Nana look.
I do. And I remember Nana Muscuri just.
Just, yeah, just slightly
the
before
albums,
our time.
My parents had the albums. Mm. Yeah.
If I continue eating, I'll be channeling Demis.
We could get
yes.
Oh,
we could be lookalikes.
We could.
Well, exactly. That's a good idea. Because you've got caftans, don't you?
I do. I have a caftan that comes out when we used to have parties in the good old days. I have a great big nylon brown caftan that a friend of mine, who sadly is no longer with us, she was an opera singer. And
keep it light.
It was like the mantle. I'm passing on the mantle of the caftan, but it's a cracker. It really is nylon. It's brown, these big orange swirls on it. I love it.
Oh.
It really suits me.
Flammable.
Very flammable.
Because you're hot stuff. I'd worried you'd combust. That's the thing.
Thank you so much for coming on to join
no,
us.
No, I think you've got me wrong, madam, but... No, she's my fucking friend. Calm down. I'm not the one in a not monogamous marriage, you dirty bitch. Right. Sorry about that, Judith. She thought I was taking the piss. Christ, I'm travelling to Aberdeen with this woman next
week.
We're
staying over.
We are. In a twin room. And honestly, I snort and fart like a bastard. So good luck, love.
Well, I'm up and down to the toilet all night, and I'm being honest here.
No, we're hosting an award ceremony.
I want to know.
Yes.
Did you always want to be a weather girl when you were growing up? Was that your, my ambition to be a weather girl?
No, I think when I was very young, I did want to perform in some way because it was definitely in my kind of genes. Mm-hmm. But it's a career I actually stumbled into. And for a girl who walked out of school failing maths, failing science, not even turning up for maths, I should say, and failing science, I totally understand weather now. I get it. I've learnt on the job. I think, you know, for me, actually, you know, working with some great people, learning my craft has been the way to learn what I'm doing now. I couldn't have studied it. My husband is a meteorologist, and he went, you know, he studied it through the Met Office, and it's all physics and maths and things that I couldn't even touch upon, but I've learned by looking, watching, and learning from people who really know what they're talking about.
Like osmosis.
Something like that. It's sucking it all in, yeah. So, but it's been a really interesting journey, and I'm absolutely passionate about weather. Really am.
And do you ever get it wrong? Have you ever had your Michael Fish moment?
Oh,
does everybody remember
yes.
the Michael Fish moment?
Yep. I have big time. I remember I was very... Do you remember the two pretty bad winters we had, back-to-back winters of a lot of snow, and it was proper Arctic conditions? So this must have been about 12 years ago, and I'd been on shift. We'd had a really bad fall of snow the previous weekend, so BBC Scotland were making a half-hour special on winter in Scotland. Anyway, I was in that morning, the snow lay for weeks and weeks, and I'd been asked to come in early and cover all the radio output, do a hit into breakfast TV down south about what was happening in Glasgow, and it was a beautiful day, actually. I remember I was quite heavily pregnant, and because of it, you know, health and safety, I couldn't stay on and do a longer shift. I only had to stop after 10. I stayed on for 12 hours. So I remember looking at all I went for my briefing with the guys from the Met Office, and then looking at the charts and thinking, there's something not right, because I was watching what was going on over Northern Ireland and over Scotland. And I went on air and I said, so tonight we'll see just a few sort of bits and pieces of snow coming our way into the central lowlands and southwards, but that's about it. So the next morning I woke up and there was a foot of snow. I was like, sent me into labour. I was like, honestly, I couldn't believe. And that was the day that M8 got shut down.
I remember that.
So that was my Michael Fish moment.
Oh, wow. And it put you into labour. That's better than a curry, really? Isn't it?
And the other.
Are you not still due a taxi driver money for trying to have a baby in his taxi?
I had a few false starts, because, no, I'm not due money, but I was a few false starts with my bambinos, because it was twins, my surprises, and I was...
You knew you were pregnant.
Yes,
I knew. Sorry, surprises.
So I was on my way to... my husband was away, and as he's away, he's doing time. So he was away, and
doing time for bad weather.
So he was away, and I went into labour basically. And so my oldest boy went round to my friends. So I was told to get straight to the hospital because it was twins, and they're always trickier pregnancies. And this taxi driver all the way there, right, I'm coming in with you. And I'm like, no! You know, and he was desperate to come right into the labour ward, up to the suite, and accompany me through the labour.
Absolutely not, because as any ladies... Could you imagine any ladies know that giving birth is like a car crash, so you wouldn't want him at the foot of the bed.
And he's asking him about the weather all the while as well.
What?
How's it looking down there?
But that's the thing, you don't want a stranger standing at the business end, do
no.
you?
No, you don't.
You don't want anybody standing at the business
end. Course,
well, you might do. You did last night, but you didn't have time.
No, I didn't have time. You've curtailed my activities.
Oh, sorry for thinking of your career. Anyway, back to you, Judith. So did you ever see that guy again?
No, I haven't seen him again.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Nice. Can you everybody
he is here tonight.
This afternoon. We've got a surprise for you. So twin boys, and they're 11,
aren't
they?
I've got a twin girl. One of each.
One of each. Oh,
so they were my big surprises. They are a result of a very drunk night.
Are they?
With my husband.
Oh, that's often the way.
Well, we don't know. That's
were you round at their house? DNA.
So, they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. They are funny. And
you got an older one as well?
Uh-huh, yes. So he's at university. He's learning to be like his mum.
Oh, is he?
Oh, what's special?
Yes, it's breaking my heart. What was that?
Special.
No, like well, mom. The problem is, you know, he's a really smart kid. He's all sort of straight A's, blah, 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 unlike his mum. Although I've lied, I have to say, I've not been honest about that. Well, I got 5 A's in my hires and all that, so I'm going to have to raid the attic to get rid of my O grade and higher results so they don't see how badly I did.
Wow. Did you get any good results at school?
Of course.
Standard grade Latin.
I got Latin too.
And a behaviour diary. What was going to say? No, I fucking hated school. I really, really did. It wasn't for me.
I loved it.
No, I hated it as well.
No, try being bullied. Boo-hoo. What was I going to say? Do you think it's okay, though, as a parent? I had a friend who had a child, and the child caught her smoking. And she went, I am not smoking. You just gave me a fright, and this is a technique that I do to relax. And it's a bit like, do you think that's okay to lie to your children to get them to do better?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Because I'm here to tell you,
hesitation.
On the Lord's Day, it's not.
Oh, no.
Jesus
hesitation.
Is very angry.
Obviously, the problem with my son is he's like me. Of course, I was so a big night last night, Mum. Like, don't you want to just have a wee night in and a bath? And you know, this is what I keep advising him
How old is this child?
He's 19.
Oh,
he's
the same age
as my own child.
See, so that's your oldest, that's the same age as my youngest.
So I'm like, you know, encouraging him to stay home. And of course,
when
I know, but I just worry for safety. I don't know.
No, well, we
he's doing all the
be
things
honest
I
about
did.
What I did.
That's the thing. We're of a generation where we were allowed to go wild, weren't we? So, you know,
Because you were a bit of a goer, weren't you?
Were you?
You know, rubber legs, they could have had some lovely times had they been born in the same era.
Oh, my goodness, these are... See,
aren't they fabulous? I didn't know we had Slaggy Aggie with us.
No, I think she's looking good.
Oh, no, she's very sexy. It's the pink. She's flying the flag for the homos. They're delighted. They've got representation. They don't have that in Little and Mary Hill, so, you know, it's all good.
Cheeky, isn't he?
He is
with his stick-on beard.
Oh, I know, her name's Jojo. How rude.
You were with me when, because your oldest is 19, my youngest is 19, and you were there when I did the drive-by, pick up a prom dress and drop off weed, weren't you? You said you're a very modern parent.
I don't genuinely want people to know that. I have a brother in the police, and I think that's fine if you want to drag your children up like that. So she went like that. We had to go and record something. She went, I just got to go and drop something off. So you're thinking, oh, Christ, I can't be bothered. But it's like cheese or milk. And I said, what is it? Oh, I've got to pick up a ball gown. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And I'm thinking, oh, it's the final of Drag Race tonight. I hope this doesn't go on too long. And, I've got to give her a weed. I went,
I'm a good mother.
Right, okay, that's
I didn't
nice.
Buy it, I hasten to add.
It's not the point, isn't Jojo. It? No, I think there's something fundamentally flawed in the model, in the business. I mean, would you drop off weed for yours?
I'm taking massive boxes of toilet roll, washing powder. I work for the BBC, we don't know what weed is.
No, of course.
Good for you.
Well, good I was picking up the prom dress. Picking up the prom dress that I paid £500 for that she never got to wear because prom was cancelled. So there.
And why is sale.
Anybody want a prom dress? It's bloody beautiful.
Oh, it's a lovely shade of green. Yeah. There's a lot of
there's a lot of green. A
lot of work on the bustier, isn't
yes,
there? I think there's Swarovski crystals. And it reeks to high heaven of weed. So it comes with a thing of Febreze, which is really just GHB, the date rape drug. So, you know, if you're looking for a bit of fun on your own, knock yourself out. You mentioned working for the BBC, and obviously you do work for the BBC. Do you feel that curtails what you can say publicly? What you can be honest about, what you can... Are you ever... If people come up to you and go, Judith, what's the weather? Are you ever tempted to go, but in fucking Scotland, get a grip. What do you think it's going to be, your fucking boot?
It's pissing down like it is every day.
Are you high, madam?
But you know what? I have to be honest, and people are genuinely really nice. But there is that same one, what's the weather doing today? And they all think it's really funny, like it's never been said before. Look, it's dry, you know.
Look out the window.
But most people are really nice, you know, I have to say. And I always think, when people stop me, because you forget that you're, you know, when you're a mum, you're doing your normal kind of day-to-day.
You're in
life.
Morrison's, you're trying to deal with
exactly,
things.
Exactly, it is Morrison's as well. I'm nipping in there on the way home to get my wine for tonight. No.
Oh, hello.
So,
a box,
yeah. Box. So, yes.
People stopping you and
yes,
asking
stopping
you.
Yes, stopping you. And I forget that...
That's you.
Yes, I mean.
Well, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Do you know who else says that? Naomi Campbell.
Does she
does. She just goes at that, I forget, it's me. And when people come up to me in restaurants, then she stabs them.
Look, well, and I think why, you know... But do you know what I always think? Because my mum and dad didn't live to see me doing what I do now. Oh. And after, I think they would have been really proud of me. Because there's no doubt I've turned out one career and it had failed massively. And I managed to...
What did you fail at? I like failure.
I didn't fail. It was cut short.
Oh,
it's
right.
A bit of an emotional one.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Let's hear it.
Oh, well...
well. Let's hear it while Jojo rolls a single Skinner. For the car journey home, I've got tights to drop off.
Well, I used to be an opera singer. And
seriously?
So I'm a musician, really. So to cut a long story short, that sort of ended very abruptly. And I was in total no man's land career-wise, or just earning a living-wise, never mind, career and vocation. And then I ended up starting working in radio and just have worked my way into this, and not through any kind of ambition, just taking work when I could get it, like reading a weather script on air because they had nobody else. And then that's how I got into doing it on the telly, because they had nobody else, basically.
Isn't it amazing
you
how
would
life
like
can go in a different...
Ulrika Johnson, but for the blind, because it was because of a strike that Ulrika went on camera and you did it on radio.
I did. For the blind, and then I gradually started to do it on TV. I used to read the news really badly on telly. I was always ad-libbing. Today at Hollywood, you know.
Ad-libbing the news.
Making it up as you go along. No wonder we're in the mess we're in.
Even I take exception. I'm
I think that's what they're doing now.
The problem is, see, with weather, what a lot of people don't know is we don't have a script that's all from what's going on up here. So you've got a story. It's like Peppa Pig in the
corner. So will you.
Where's the bear?
Oh, the bear's over there. The bear's wearing bifocals.
Oh.
That's what's got me in. But the thing is, when you say you were ad-libbing the news, did you go like that? There's been a crash. No, there's not. There has been. You'll find out after the break.
Like there's been a crash. Oh, that's terrible. You know.
Wow.
Too emotive. His own joke.
I know
I'm the only person that does.
This would be just indulgent.
I feel happier for that, actually.
Yeah. I laugh at my own jokes. My husband is Big Fraser, we call him my house. So whenever my phone rings, it says, Big Fraser calling. Big Fraser. And he once said, why do you call me Big Fraser? It makes me sound like I'm really fat. So, of course, it's still Big Fraser. Bless him. Aww. He doesn't say much, but that's what he's...
Is he fat?
No. He's chunky. He's tall.
Oh. Girth.
Tall and tanned and young and lovely. Guff.
Well, you let last night go, for the love of Christ. Good Lord. So, what you have in common with Joan Collins is... Mm-hmm.
A younger husband.
Younger husband.
A big husband.
A big Percy. that she always... The thing she bemoans about Dynasty is the fact that her parents were unable to see her, like, proper international success.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you've had nationwide success.
Nationwide success.
But the thing is that parents would be... Yeah,
grateful for. And I think that's why I always take the time when people speak to me, everybody's got an interesting... chat, to be honest. I've met some lovely people.
Do they, Judith?
Yeah, most people.
I've met some people.
We have met some absolute bores, haven't we?
Yawn.
But you've got to remember, my fan base is probably, it's sort of 60, 70, 80.
Oh, so is mine. And believe me, these people bring a lot of it on themselves. Bad attitudes, they won't move
forward. Do you get Twitter abuse?
Not much.
Good.
Which is, although I stepped into one of, somebody was completely slagging off my colleague, Joy Dunlop. She was a lovely girl, and I stepped in and said, "Wait, hey, back off! That is just not
acceptable."
Nice. And I just started slagging the BBC off. So, my last tweet this morning was that one was done last night after wine. My last tweet this morning was, "Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough."
Oh, really?
Goodness,
I'm sober. Come here.
I think the homos have got that DVD.
And I think that's a good note to end that on.
Oh, God, keep cutting us off in our prime.
Keep it up. Well, we're being flashed.
Oh, we're being flashed, thankfully, just with a light, though.
Yes.
Yes, no. The producer's an insidious bummer. It's quite disgusting,
actually. No, I would
happily
sit and chat to Judith for the rest of the afternoon, but we must press on.
Judith, thank you for
coming.
Thank
you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Now, Judith, before you go, we did get everyone an Easter egg, but we know you've got twins, so you can have two.
Aww. You can have two. Yeah. One for
thank you.
One of each.
Pretend I got them.
Yes. No, absolutely. And one of each the same so they don't fight
I've
over
given
them.
Up chocolate for Lent.
Have you?
I am a Catholic.
Are you a Catholic? Yes. Oh, am I? No.
No.
No. I'm too busy.
I tried to be a Catholic once.
You could always make time for God.
Well, listen, I'm friends with Jesus. I'm just not necessarily Jesus is keen on my work.
I wanted to be a Catholic.
Did you? Why?
Yes. I don't know. Because I liked the Midnight Mass and I thought it was very theatrical.
The Midnight Mass.
And then I'd
a lot of singing.
A lot of singing, a lot of dressing up. Yeah. And then I'd made my parents send me to a Catholic school and then I decided, I didn't actually want to be a Catholic. I wanted to be an actress. Yeah. I just liked it all. The drama.
The theatricals.
I didn't like the religious
thing. I was head girl of a Catholic school. That's my proudest moment, yeah.
Head girl?
And I always remember people saying that you being a head girl will see you through life. Everybody will, on your CV, head girl.
Yeah, if you're the girl that's giving head to get ahead, come
that
on, man.
That gets you through life.
Good
100%.
Lord. Ladies and
thank
gentlemen,
you very
can
much
we have a huge round of applause for the wonderful Judith Rothstein.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oh, do you not?
You call it a duster coat.
So you call it a coatigan, and the reason I know that is because homos understand fashion.
Oh, there we go.
Not today, obviously. I'm in between sizes.
I've got long things like that. They're called duster coats.
Duster coats. Mm-hmm. Is that not just so you can run around your house, give a dust,
give
and
a
then
dust.
Get
no,
out?
No, have you seen my house? I do not dust.
I have been in your house. Mm-hmm. There's no reception there.
No, there isn't.
A warm reception from you.
No, nope, but you
can't. Nothing from
O2. No, absolutely. Oh. But that's because my Wi-Fi has been cut off. No, it hasn't.
Really?
We're getting there. Is anybody worried about their energy bills?
I don't think so. We're in the West End of Glasgow, and if you think about it, there's a Waitrose nearby. I don't think people give a shit.
No?
Nah, I don't think they care.
I think we should collectively, en masse, all agree not to pay our electricity and gas bills. That'll show them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
if we
wow,
just mass,
thanks for joining this rally. Oh, for God's sake, pipe down, woman, and get a guest on before I'm fucking physically sick. Right, okay. Who is
who
our
have
next
we got?
Guest?
I'll tell you who's next.
Please do.
As the comedy mother, as I'm sometimes known.
Are you Chief Mammy now?
I am Chief Mammy. Well, no, Nicola Sturgeon's Chief Mammy, apparently.
No, Jesus I know, Christ. That was the joke. Intro, good Lord. Oh, no.
She did refer to herself as Chief Mammy. Anyway, we'll not go there. A very young, clever, funny, I don't know which order that's, if any of those are correct.
Well, he's
anyway,
young.
He is young. And he is funny. And he has just been nominated at the Chortle Awards as Best Newcomer. And I've seen him since he started being a baby boy comedian. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome on to Lost Dodge, Mr. Liam Farrelly. There he is.
Just before we go any further, does Liam need to change his muff?
No.
For reasons of COVID? Or
oh,
is that
I mean,
please.
I'm already speaking. So
oh, well, it's too late. That's fine. I was only trying to help you.
No, that's nice, right. And it's very considerate, but it's disingenuous, tokenistic bullshit. Let's get on. So, hi,
it was
Liam,
just the management had said, but never mind.
Did
right,
they?
Okay, yes, they said they wanted interchangeable muffs.
Well, they wanted interchangeable
muffs. You knock yourself
muffs.
Out, hen.
But what would it, what would that, on it, right, okay, what would it
we'll move on, we'll move on.
Energy prices,
right, okay.
I feel like a child of divorce there, no, it's just
yeah, mummy, daddy, stop fighting.
Mummy,
sorry, I do apologise. Liam, I have known you since you absolutely started doing this nonsense.
Aye, since I was 17, aye.
Yeah, so and how old are you now?
22, so,
ancient.
Old.
Somebody actually said on stage they
were
21.
Do you honestly think you are getting old at 22? It's just those kind of comments make me want to stab people.
Somebody said on stage the other night they were 21 and felt positively geriatric.
You should
and
have set fire to them.
I did, which is why they no longer be doing comedy.
But it's like 23-year-olds, and I'm sorry to say, but they are homos, and they're on Twitter and they go like that, I'm 23, and it's like kill yourself. Seriously, you don't deserve to live because you don't appreciate it, and you're fucking ugly.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't like that, do they?
So you have just been nominated in Chortle's Best Newcomer Awards.
Aye, I didn't get told I was nominated by the guy who runs the awards, and I've not been invited to the award ceremony. So,
is there any background to that story, Liam, that you're willing to share with us, or is that a little bit too honest?
Could you please be
honest? So basically, the guy that runs these awards.
Would you like to name him?
Steve Bennett.
Steve Bennett. He came to.
He's a trouser fumbler.
Oh, is he?
Oh, are you blind? Have you seen him? He's always touching himself.
Right, okay. Let Liam speak now.
Aye, so basically I was doing the Fringe last year with two other guys and he came to the show and he sat in about the fifth row and he watched them two do their bit and then I went on and then he started chatting to a woman beside him from the first minute of my set to the last minute. And then he put out a review and just fucking slated me, basically, saying I was very unoriginal and you wouldn't forget me tomorrow. And I was like, aye, because you were firing into some bird, mate, that's why.
And now he's nominated you for a Best Newcomer Award.
Aye, so, you know, swings and roundabouts, you know.
Do you think it's an apology, and by way of an apology?
Well, he did come and apologise to me, so I'm like, well, fair enough, like, we've buried the hatchet now, but I don't think I'm going to win because he's no invited me to the awards, so I assume.
That's interesting. To be fair, I absolutely do think you deserve the nomination, and you've already won a Scottish Comedy Award, haven't you?
Aye, I won that, aye. So.
And because awards are those funny things. If you're nominated for them, they're the best thing ever. If you're not nominated for them, they're a pile of shit, essentially.
Aye.
I mean, I think Chortle Awards this year are utter crud because my name's
not
on it. Neither of you. So.
I didn't expect to be, though. No. That's the difference between you and I. I'm a realist. Not for everyone.
Not everyone's cup of tea. But, however, you absolutely do deserve the newcomer.
I'm not really that fussed about it because there's no like award money, so I'm just like,
what? There's no prize money.
Nah, no prize money.
It's like Drag Race UK. You don't want a fucking badge.
Yeah. No, so I'm just like,
who are the other newcomers?
Oh fuck. There's Celia AB is very good.
What?
Celia AB, never
sounds
heard.
Sounds like a new
is it
detox.
A male or a female?
She's female, she's French.
Okay.
Oh, brilliant. I love Brie.
Celia AB.
There's a guy from Manchester I've seen. I think his name's Ross Tierney. He's really good. Mm. And then I don't know the other people.
Okay, so
there's. Well, shit. I do. I know one of them, and this is going to be quite bitchy, actually. Ria Lina has been going longer than I have and is in the same category as you.
That's breakthrough.
Breakthrough. What's she broken through from? Her 50th birthday.
She will.
No offence,
but
she's lovely.
You.
She would like those slacks, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, she would.
Yes. No, there's a different category.
Right, okay. I skim read the article. I like to do some research, but you know me.
No, yeah. I skim read the article to see if I was in it, and I wasn't, so I immediately.
I don't even go on
pissy
that website.
Fit to myself.
Do you go on that website?
No, I went on it to read the review you had a go at me at, and then I was like, oh, this is shite, I won't be back. So
have you ever done what I've done on that website and left bad reviews for other comedians that you hate? Not naming names until I've had a drink.
I didn't know that was an option, so maybe head back over.
Do you not have false email accounts just in case?
No, I'm not out.
Oh, Liam, grow up. I mean, what fucking life are you living? Come on, man.
The other thing as well, being young at 22, you've had a big life-changing moment has occurred.
Aye, I had a baby.
Oh, lovely.
Well, aye. I mean...
Lovely, a baby.
The mothers in the room will say technically...
Mm. Aye. Well, I was
somebody else had the baby.
Somewhat.
You were involved, yes.
See, it's funny, right? And I do have to speak up for my people here. If we have unprotected sex, we are vilified, but suddenly you're celebrated and get a Marquis voucher. I think it's wrong. You know, I don't care who you've had a horizontal refreshment. Why have I got to supply the rusks? So how old is the wee baby?
She's 4.5 months now.
4.5 months. And she's got a nice name, the name of a pug.
Aye, Ruby.
Ruby,
so,
yes. Good dog's name, so that's lovely.
Our mum picked that one out, so she'll be happy to hear that. So.
Well, our mum picked you, so there's a lot going on.
And have you started talking about being a father on stage? What?
Please don't.
Why?
Well, everyone else does, even people that don't have children.
Yes, that's true.
Well, I mean, I've started now, so I may as well just keep going and just wait it out until it's shite again and then talk about something else I'll go with.
You could maybe try and have a load of other children and talk about them and do a whole show called Biscuits and Bread in Bed and the Crumbs That I've Slept With. And then all these babies that you've had.
I went to a fortune teller when I was in Blackpool and she told me I was going to have a lot more wins. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, please.
Are you into that kind of thing?
No, I was in Blackpool doing a gig and it was like, you just have to walk about when you're waiting on your gig to start. And I walked past a woman. She was like, oh, I'll tell you your fortune for a fiver. And I was like, oh, I'm wanting to kill some time. So I was just like, all right.
That that's fair enough. And was she in a kind of, was this in a room or a cupboard or a kind of Romany travelling camper van? What do you call those things? A wagon.
I've gone to the one in Newcastle that's at the big market. I like a wee fortune tale.
Oh my God. No, I will not go into the big market in Newcastle because I saw Mrs. and Santa Claus pumping each other on the floor out their minds on what I presume was meth. And I can keep it real by going into an Aldi, but that was just too dirty for me. So how long did it take then? And did she actually touch your palm?
No, because it's COVID. So
So
she just kind of looked at it.
Looked at your palm.
Aye.
She went, I won't be eating an apple off that anytime soon.
Aye, then she's like, you're going to live really long, but you're going to have loads of children. And I was like, oh.
How long? Because you've barely begun on life. Fuck, you're going to be bored by the time you're 80.
Aye, well, that's what I was like. I was like, that's a fairly safe bet. Cause I'm like, I'm 22, yeah. So I was like, if I fucking die next week, then
and
that's
you don't smoke or anything like that, do you?
No, I had to give it all up because I got life insurance.
Ah, yeah.
Do you have to give it up? Oh, well, I clearly haven't got life insurance because I wasn't planning on living very long.
Didn't you?
I bought a house as well, but that's full of lead paint, so that's a bit.
Yeah. I feel
you bought a house. You've got a child.
He's been shafted. I know the mother has been shafted, but he's been shafted on the house. Because now, does anyone know if anyone can get rid of lead paint? This is quite a serious question, actually. It's not a joke. He's been bought this house. It sounds like a good deal on paper, but you're having to wear a hazmat suit to sleep.
Aye. Because lead paint affects your IQ. So, like, if you.
So I'm fine.
Aye, so like, you need to wear a mask and on this. So I scrape it off the walls, and then a guy comes in and plasters it, and then that should be safe. So.
Right.
I mean, if I die, you'll know what's happened, but...
Yeah.
Well, in fairness and not being judgmental, it is Paisley, so it's either the paint or a stabbing over a kebab that's got out of hand. Are you from Paisley, Liam?
I was born in Paisley, so I've just been staying in the hometown. So.
And you bought a house in Paisley?
Aye, that's why it's so cheap.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because what have you bought? It's three bedrooms.
It's a three-bed... I think the term is a mansionette.
No, I told you on Thursday it's a masonette.
Masonette.
I love you, but you're not listening. So it's a masonette, not a mansionette. People would think you were a wanker.
But no, in Paisley, a three-bedroom house probably is a mansion, isn't it?
No, that's very racist.
But it's just a four and a block kind of thing, so it's just a three-bedroom.
You're like Jenny from the block. But there's four of you, and the reason there's four of you, because you're high on fucking lead paint. How long is it going to take to get rid of the lead paint?
Well, I've only got one room where it's left now, so it will only take another week. So I need to go home and scrape that off the walls.
Is the baby in this?
No, I'm not. No, you can't bring a baby into that. Like,
I was going to say, Jesus Christ.
Get the social work involved if that was happening.
Sometimes that's a good idea when you find out your child isn't turning out how you liked it to be.
But you do have a front back garden and you've got a driveway and a garage.
I've got a hut, but the hut's fallen over.
A hut.
Aye.
Uh-huh. You should maybe get a palm reader in there, and that'll cover the cost of your lead paint removal. What do you see in your future? Not much. Breathe in. Another one dead.
I am genuinely interested, because we are all obviously stand-up comedians, why did you want to start doing comedy at the age of 17?
Because I wasn't really doing anything else, and I was about to get chucked out of school, and they were like, they start back where they take you in and go, oh, what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, I don't know. And then they were like, well, you better fucking get a plan. So then I read Kevin Bridges' book, and then he talked about The Night in Hell, Red Raw, and then I was like, I'll sign up for that, and then did that, and it kind of just worked, and then they asked me back, and I just went for there.
The first night, Kevin Bridges, who I compared, by the way, just so you know, I'm his comedy man, thank you. On that subject, you quite, impressed with me. I know.
Back to the paint.
You do, in all honesty, I sound like you. You do get, compared to Bruce, compared to Kevin,
all right, quite a
yeah,
compliment.
Yeah, look at that screaming Jesse.
You do quite often get compared to Kevin Bridges, and how do you take that? Do you take that as a criticism, as a compliment? How do you deal with that kind of association?
I'm not really that fussed. I'm like, you can kind of say what you want about this as long as you're paying us. So, like.
Because, I mean, I think you are very different. You sound the same because you're from the same place.
Aye, well, he's Clyde Banks. He's like 5 minutes down the road for me, basically.
But in terms of your material, I think you're...
I'm talking about nuns and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Aye, my sister is a nun. I'm not just, like, having a go at them. Like.
Liam, you should really lead with that. Continue.
Aye. Well, my sister and my aunt are both nuns, so I know there's a lot of... That ties into your Catholic bit before you brought me on there. So.
My God, this is writing itself, honestly. Look out for bears, queens and trampolines in Morrison's next week. Now, are these celibate nuns? Can they have a fiddle?
All nuns are meant to be celibate, I think, so yeah. I assume they're doing that. I don't know. I've not investigated. So.
You would hope not, Liam. Do you know what I mean? You
wouldn't want to wear habits?
My aunt does, but my sister doesn't.
Oh, right, so she's a kind of lazy nun?
Aye. She's a new school nun, so I see.
So,
a new school nun, does that exclude them from wearing habits?
Well, it's your choice. It just depends, because nuns are a bit like Power Rangers. They've all got like their different kind of specialities.
I am never going to look at a nun in the same way again.
What does a nun actually do? Because I'm thinking this is just a byword for unemployment, and I'm interested.
You look lovely in a habit.
Well, exactly.
Instead of having a habit, wear a habit.
Well, for what I can work out, it's basically a lot of nutting, and then that's about that.
What, like booties and matinee jackets?
No, I think they just knit whatever they want, basically. Like, whatever they're needing, they'll just knit a wee
so
bit of that.
They can't experience physical love, but they have carte blanche on what to knit.
Technically, they're married to God.
Aren't we all, honey? I mean, really? But you know, if your man's not around some of the time, you have to make your own arrangements in bushes. So they're married to God.
Aye, that's
how old is she?
She is 26 now.
Wow, does she drink?
Well, most of them do, but she doesn't, so...
This is news. I didn't know. Oh, that.
Oh no!
Like,
nuns and priests are big alkies.
Like, are they? This is a revelation. That means I could be a nun.
Of sorts. And do you have religion in the same way that people from the Highlands have the Gaelic? Do you have religion in the way that these homos might have the syphilis? Do you have a guiding light?
Oh, no, I just
No, because you wouldn't have walked into that property deal if you had. I think that's the thing. I think Jesus was taking the PISSS.
Aye, no. I'm not religious myself, but...
No.
Aye, obviously she is. So.
No, yeah.
Aye.
I'm going to ask you, are you doing... It's that classic show at the Fringe this year?
I am doing I won at the Fringe for the first time, so get Steve Bennett back to the view.
Yes.
That goes.
Oh, is it your first hour?
Aye, this is the first one, so we'll see how it goes.
What's it called?
God's Brother-in-Law.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
That's
now,
a
Liam,
great
on
title.
A religious theme, we have an Easter egg for
you.
Ah, yeah,
we
here we
do.
Go.
I honestly thought you were going to be dull as fucked. I have been riveted. Riveted
you can have
by the
chocolate
nuns.
Buttons or chocolate buttons. So
I'll take chocolate buttons. Then, aye.
Liam,
thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you very much for joining us.
I love to your sister.
I'll pass on the...
Yeah, no, yes. Please do. And if you could give me a message when that paint's done, I might come and visit. But I don't want my hair going frizzy.
No, and until then, exactly, do not take the baby there.
No.
Keep the
poor
baby
wee
away.
Ruby, no.
Yeah.
Liam Farrelly, a round of applause.
Thank you,
Liam. What a dark horse of chat.
Isn't he?
That's
absolutely.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
A troubled background, I like
100%.
That.
Yes. We like a dodgy bringing up.
Oh, absolutely. Dragged up in his case. Yeah. Right, okay. Shall we get the last?
We have. We've got one more, haven't
we've
we?
Got one more guest.
Well, we did his podcast, and it's not that we did his podcast so that we felt that we should have him on our podcast, because we'd already decided we were having on our podcast before we did his podcast. But we have done his podcast. He's got his own podcast, Simon Houston. But he's been... But he does stand-up comedy, or he started to do stand-up. Well, we ask him, and
well, that would be great. Yeah, I mean, as interesting as this stream of consciousness is, I feel as though I'm in a police station with a light in my face. Right, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Mr. Simon Houston.
Hello, Simon.
Do I get moan muff?
No, you do not. We've muffed.
There's a muff drought.
We've gone off muff.
There's a muff drought, unfortunately.
A muff shortage.
Yes.
Yes. We did come on your podcast. We had
you
a
did?
Thoroughly
not literally.
Good time. No.
Just popped
well,
on.
You might have done. You accused the producer
well,
of being gay.
Well, one or two poke who listened to it did, I think.
Do you think? It was getting a bit kind of 08, 9, 8, 3:50
towards
the end.
It was getting a bit racy. We went a bit feral at the end.
Yeah.
You accused my producer of being on Grindr while he was supposed to be.
But he looked it.
Yeah.
So you've got this obsession about people who look gay.
Yeah, I don't like them. I'm a homophobe.
You actually are.
He had just become a dad about 2 weeks earlier.
How many people have you been with that have got children?
The stories.
I see one behind you.
The stories that I hear from Bruce about the amount of married men with children that are having horizontal refreshments with this one, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them.
I keep looking over there for the torch guy.
Yeah.
The torch guy terrifies me.
Which torch guy? All right, of course.
Here.
You have stood on this spot.
I stood on this stage. And actually, it was nice not standing the other side of the curtain and absolutely bricking it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm bricking it a wee bit, I have to be honest.
Why?
Because I normally interview folk rather than be interviewed.
Oh,
so
bitch,
kind of
deal with it. Just go with it. Oh, my God.
But not hearing the Riet Petite music too, because that kind of, you know.
Well, that depresses me, I have to say. You can be anywhere in the world. And
I know,
hear that music.
Hear it.
Shit, I'm on. Oh, no. I'm in New York. Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
I find it fascinating that you do get nervous, or that you were nervous standing here or nervous coming on. You used to be a journalist in actual war zones.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
How on earth could some, like, standing in front of a bunch of plonkers be more, I mean, sorry, I mean, not, don't take it personally, but I mean, most audiences are just thick as mint. So what? Yeah.
Not this one,
not
clearly.
This one.
You've got
but
every nuance, well done.
No, lovely, but do you mean it's audiences?
It's a kind of different fear.
Mm.
You know, it's absolutely terrifying, but in a different, not in the same kind of way of, like, you're not reporting in somewhere like, you know, Iraq or whatever, thinking that you're going to make an ass of yourself on stage. You're worried about a Scud
people
missile
dying.
Landing on, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a different, it's still terrifying, but a different kind of tip. Like, just being in here and looking at all these faces expecting you to say something funny is far more scary.
There's no expectation on you today, don't you worry about it.
So were you a bit like Judith when you were reporting? Did you ad-lib? Did you make some of it up?
Ad-lib the news.
Yeah. I think
absolutely.
That's fascinating.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't tell you about it.
Right, okay.
Because
we'll
get retrospectively sacked.
That is something I'm interested in as well, in terms of what is actually happening on the ground when you are in a war zone and what we are told back here at home.
Yeah.
How much is there a difference? Because I think we get lied to.
Well, I wouldn't say lied to, but there was...
There are snipers outside,
so a couple
just
of times,
careful.
A couple of times I was officially embedded with the military, so an actual war correspondent, so you know, you're given... Like, it's not a uniform, it's, you know, so it's a, you're given the flak jacket, the helmet, and you are embedded with the military. But they would maybe not censor your stuff, but yet they have to have a wee idea of what you're writing. If you're sending a report back that's giving positions away,
okay,
or you know, like, they're not going to win this battle because they've only got 5 tanks, you know, and there's only 3 drivers. then the enemy might think, well, that's quite handy. So there was a wee bit of that, particularly in Iraq. So I was embedded with this Scottish cavalry unit who, and the officers were lovely, but they would always look, see before you send it off, can we have a quick look? And I would say, yeah, but just check it for factual errors as far as, you know, the kind of military stuff, but don't tell me what I can and can't say as far as,
see,
you know, the
do you
reporting.
Remember when we had the riots in this country and people were looting the shops and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I remember walking my dog down in Crammond, because I'm obsessed with Jean Brodie, and I'd pass these women, and what they'd said was, it's so bizarre that the people that report the news are feeding where they think everything's going to go, or the police are coming down. Why would you want to remove the element of surprise? And we all went for a coffee, and we all agreed. I mean, these women were about 90, but they were really fucking up for it.
Yeah.
And they were getting a bit pissed off. And that's the thing. What about the element of surprise? Why then, if you've got, like, people seeking intelligence throughout... Do you see what I'm saying? Because I feel as though I'm kind of semi-breakdown.
Kind of. See what you're saying, but
it's almost
so journalists are kind of spoiling the surprise for the
no. I think the journalists are giving the perpetrators an unfair advantage by saying, oh, the police are in the Midlands, so they'll go with that. Well, we'll not be in the Midlands, we'll go to Motherwell. Yes, and I'll talk about fucking war zones. I've done Panto in Motherwell, and I've also been in Primark and Hamilton, just saying,
both war zones. But something. So, did you watch Once Upon a Time in Iraq? That was one of the first lockdown.
Do you know?
I
haven't got around to watching it yet, and it's on my to-do list because it's going to be right on my street.
Because I just thought that was fascinating in terms of it really changed. Well, you still don't know what to believe. It really changed what my perception had been about the war in Iraq when you sort of listened more to the Iraqis and from their sense.
There's also there's a film Three Kings. I don't know if you've seen that, George Clooney, and I think it's also set in Gulf War II, and. But
he's going, I have, and she's going, I recognise George from the Nespresso ads.
So the camera pans around, there's a big bank of tanks and armoured personnel carriers and soldiers, and it pans around, and then there's a big bank of cameras, and it gives you an idea of just the size of the kind of press corps, if you like, the journalists are covering it. But also, you wouldn't send someone there unless they kind of knew what they were doing. I had to go through weeks of hostile environment training, and you know, in NBC, you had to learn how to use a gas mask and all that kind of stuff. And you know, when the first occasion that I had to actually use it, I forgot the training completely. So I was kind of washing my, I was outside this tent somewhere in Kuwait in the desert, and I was kind of washing my socks or something like that, something totally uninteresting. And I heard this noise in the distance, and there was a soldier running towards me with his gas mask on, shouting, "Gas, gas, gas," which was the, you know.
No, it's not funny.
It was kind of funny.
It's quite serious, actually.
In order to let you know that there might be a chemical weapon landing nearby, they shout gas, gas, gas. So I kind of thought, oh, fuck. And I ran into the tent where the other kind of officers were, and I said, there's a guy out there shouting gas. Oh, and they remembered to put it on, finally. But fortunately, it wasn't.
And nowadays, all false alarm.
They were all false alarms, though, in Iraq.
Really?
Yeah.
But then, in the 80s and early 90s, did we not live through the threat of war all the time?
That's the thing.
We've always been living through
the threat of war. So all the young folk now who are living through this is new to them, the idea that there may be a nuclear attack. And we grew up in the Cold War, and the idea of the Soviet Union and America.
Although this time I believe them.
Where would you
genuinely
go?
Genuinely, I'm a bit I'm going to buy a motorhome, have I told you? Yeah.
Where would you go in a four-minute warning?
What?
In the former,
obviously. Occupies my thoughts all the time.
What's the 4 minute warning?
The 4 minute warning of a nuclear attack. So you need to get in a
bunker. Time to fucking get changed.
You need to get.
Maybe you'd have to find the lowest underground station. Right, probably. So, Cessnock or something like that.
I didn't realise this, but in my kitchen, there because I had a leak. That underneath my floorboards in my actual kitchen is that sort of like a room underneath. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
I think.
But it is, we hadn't had to worry about this for 20 years, and now it's back. Sorry to bring a downer on everybody.
Oh, no, please do.
There might not be a nuclear
please
war.
Please do. I genuinely think we're living through history and that this is the final season. They haven't written another chapter.
Of course we're living through history. It's called life.
I saw something on Twitter a week or two ago. It was great, and it was like, I think it was Martians watching the telly, and they were like, oh, my God, the latest season of Earth has gone from pandemic to nuclear war in like two episodes.
Yeah.
Just going like that. And it must be absolutely nuts if you were, you know, watching.
Would you ever be tempted to go back in and report again? Go back to
that's a good point.
From a war zone?
Yeah.
Would you go to Ukraine?
No, probably not. Probably not.
Would you take in a refugee?
Absolutely, yeah. Would do, yeah. Yeah. But I don't
think who would, can I just have a show of hands? Who would take a refugee in?
Would you?
Oh, well, please don't laugh at them. God, you've been very unchristian. Right,
350 quid a month.
What?
£350 a month the government are going to give you if you take a Ukrainian.
Oh, you'll take two.
I know.
Yeah. I'm sure you have.
I love the hypocrisy of all of that, because I think people are climbing over homeless people to kind of get into their house to look after a refugee that they... I just think it's disingenuous bullshit.
But what I don't understand is why we've now got homeless people again when we didn't in the beginning of that thing that we won't talk about, COVID.
Well, because we managed to solve the homeless crisis with all the hotels that weren't being used.
But that's what I've just said.
Yes,
so why isn't that still happening?
Because the hotels are open again, so they booted them out.
Oh, right. Okay, so now you've got to have everyone in your house.
Yeah.
What?
I'm not doing it.
I'll tell you what depresses me.
No offence, a refugee wouldn't like living with me, honestly. I'd be screaming at them, going, fucking don't touch the control. Don't look at the dog. Did you drink all this gin? Get the fuck out.
What depresses me about all this is my wife has this habit of reading the comment section on online stories in certain newspapers.
Oh, okay.
And it really gives you an idea of what kind of people were living amongst, you know, and some of the comments. You know, things like, you know, well, if they're coming over here, they better join the back of the queue for the food banks. You know,
I mean, all joking aside, yeah. I wouldn't take in a refugee, largely because I'm very antisocial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the big thing. I would pay for them to go somewhere else, but no, they're not coming in my house. Can't be fucking bothered, honestly. Yeah. Going through your stuff and everything.
But that's the natural. But it's the natural human response is to
get out my jock strap. You're only a visitor.
It is the
I'm sure there was hummus in there. Can do one.
It's a natural human response to reach out and want to help other people. Of course it
is. I've fucking helped people.
Okay.
Can't think of it recently, but I have.
Yeah, let's ask Bruce for an
Actually,
example,
do you know something?
Shall we?
I did help someone, right? Many years ago, I got attacked. There's a surprise. And it was someone's agent that ran up to someone else and went, oh my God, I can't believe that guy's been attacked. And everyone thought he was horrible. But I remember he said to me, your hair's far too long and you need to cut layers in it and a fringe. And I did it. And now I've got a boyfriend. So there, I fucking helped people. Thank you very much.
How long ago was that attack? 20 years? Yeah.
15. Jealous.
So know, you wouldn't go out to
probably
Ukraine?
Probably not. It's a kind of young person's game now a wee bit as well. And I probably forgot. And
do you think that's maybe why you want to do stand up then, to recreate that adrenaline?
I think
rush.
I probably suffering from post traumatic stress disorder. I very nearly killed in the Balkans. I lost part of my hearing. I was in an ambush. 6 rounds through the windscreen. So
wow.
I think and I think, you know, I was never ever diagnosed with it. I went back to my office after it. So that was in Kosovo 99, and there was off work for about a day, and I remember being in the newsroom, and the woman who I think was occupational health at the time came over and said, and how are you within yourself? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, fine. Well, that's okay. That was it. That was my kind of debriefing, you know.
Wow.
You know? So
I think we need more of that. So I think that is a good way, because all these people are pissing and wanking on and that.
Yeah.
Are you all right? Fine. Otherwise, get away home.
Yeah.
But shut up.
Do we give too much time to people and just indulge them with the nonsense?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But in answer to your question, like, you know, I came close to dying there, so I might as well die on stage instead. You know.
There's something poetic there.
There is something that is a near-death experience.
Couldn't do it in the real world, so I'll do it in an artificial environment.
But no, it was a challenge. I was set a challenge. Can someone learn stand up? Not learn to be funny. Can you learn
stand up?
The mechanics of stand up comedy.
And having done it, and still awaiting your feedback from the Stand Comedy Club in Glasgow, would you consider? I know you've set the challenge and you've done the challenge. Will you continue?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm planning to do a wee bit at the Fringe, hopefully.
Excellent.
Nothing set in concrete yet. But as far as the feedback, so 2 weeks ago was the fifth time I played here in the Red Raw, right? And the first 4 times I got feedback, I didn't get feedback the fifth time, so that maybe that makes me think that I've arrived.
You've gone up a stage.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe they don't
feel
the
need
to tell
you. Not a total
newcomer
anymore, maybe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they just didn't know how to tell you were shit.
Don't get back again. I was still one bit of feedback, I was too after dinner-y.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like you said,
very stupid, because that pays a lot of money. Yeah. So be after dinnery. That's
yeah,
what
you
I
can
say.
Never be too after dinnery because it does. It pays way more than the stand.
Stop short of the dicky bow and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you don't want to look like some penguin / Toby jug speaking absolute pish for £1,000. No, you want to have a. So you're going to keep on with it?
I think so. Yeah. It's enjoyable. It is. I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
and coming and standing here, and then once you get your first laugh. And things start to happen. It's a great feeling. You know yourselves. It's the best feeling ever.
That doesn't happen to everybody. Trust me. We compare a lot, and there's quite often that people don't get any laughs at all.
Yeah.
So congratulations on even getting a laugh.
Well, hopefully it won't be the last one.
No, absolutely.
Thanks very much for coming on the podcast. It was the best episode of the lot.
I'm going to give him another couple of minutes because I'd like to hear this. What did you say? It was the best.
It was the best of the 8 episodes. Yeah. Many people. The feedback was the first 7 episodes were good, but the pair in the last episode were just. Top draw.
I think that they said the first episodes were the first episodes.
Yes.
By number 8. No, that was good. We really enjoyed it.
And we'll have you back when we're doing our live podcast at the Edinburgh Fringe.
But that would be good.
Not with your homo tech person grinder.
No.
Fuck. Yeah, no.
Oh,
no.
Don't be rude. He was nice.
What?
Nothing.
I'm not being rude. I think we're going to talk to you about interpretation, dear. You need to calm down. I believe in violence. I don't see gender. I just see faces. Shut up!
I am going to give Simon an Easter egg.
Oh, please do.
Oh, this 15 minutes has flown past.
I know. It's been lovely. The whole hour has flown past, actually.
Yes,
so,
we're about to release the people into the wild.
Back into the wild.
Into their own personal war zone.
Take our buttons with our gratitude. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Simon, and thank you very much, Simon Houston.
Thank you.
There you go.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yes.
We shall do it again. Shall we tell them about the QR codes?
Oh, could you tell them? Technology, it means nothing to me.
Well, I don't understand, but apparently if you
can
scan
you just
these,
comply with the pamphlet?
Yes.
We're going
exclusive on Patreon. And well, it's self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so do what it says and, yeah. That'll be nice. Yes, lovely. That's all they need to do. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much for coming.
It works in a life.
Yes, so thank you. We will do another one.
Thank you very much. This was Mr. Bruce Devlin.
And Jojo Sutherland, and thank you very much. And thank you to lovely
Nacy.
Thank you, Nacy. And the tech person.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks,
see you
guys.
Again. Enjoy your Glasgow Comedy Festival.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.